one of the Christmas messages, we studied the word come in the Bible. That makes perfect sense. Coming to Jesus. Today, for kind of a pre-New Year sermon, we're going to look for God's leading and God's guidance. There are a lot more verses on come, but for some reason, we're able to find many, many points on God's leading and God's guidance. And so we'll have to kind of survey these verses and not be able to read all of them, but definitely God will lead us in the new year. Point number one, although I'd like us to look at the end in the parenthesis, no one leads God. Isaiah 40:13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? No one will need to tell God what to do. No person needed to tell, human person needed to tell Jesus what to do. God does not need any leading. But as far as leading us, there's a whole lot of verses there that God will lead us. Looking at point number one, we see Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. So we have a guiding and leading, and he actually says he will do it. Proverbs 3:5-6, which is very well known. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him. And here's the part. And he will direct your paths. So there is a guidance of God in the Bible. It promises that he will lead us in 2025. Proverbs 16:19, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So it's okay to make plans. It's okay to have goals. It's okay to have a do list. Jesus references to people that are making a building and they plan. Good thing to make plans, but God can be overpassing our plans. Jeremiah 6:16, that's a good one in this text. Stand by the way and look for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. So God will lead us in the next year. Point number two is it can go in more than one direction. I mean, the main direction is on the way to heaven and looking up. But while we're going through this life, we can have troubles or we can have times of rest. Those verses were in the first service. But they can have both. God led the people of the Exodus into troubles. Deuteronomy 8:2, you shall remember the way the Lord your God led you in the wilderness, that he might test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his way or not. And God the Holy Spirit led Jesus into temptation. Now, Jesus never sinned, but God the Holy Spirit wanted him to have a time of hunger and a time of thirst and a time of temptation. So there's such a thing as a going through safety and not having any trouble for some of the days in the next year, but there could be some things that are a trouble. Point number three, God leads all who would ever believe to salvation. God leads them to repentance. Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads to repentance. So God very often in an unsaved person's life will let them have good things, and they're supposed to be thankful. Sometimes the goodness of God leads to repentance, although Romans 2 continues and say people often will stumble. Often the good things that God does that has not led them to repentance. And so God can switch it. But sometimes he allows good things. All who would ever believe will believe. My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. It's kind of like God foreknows everybody who would ever become a believer. They're going to go that direction, and God will lead many in 2025 in that direction. I think part of the reason there are so many different points on leading and guidance is there are some specifics. Genesis 24 will give a specific. It's a story. I think it applies to everybody, but it's a story about leading to a family. In Genesis 24, Abraham's servant goes out to a well and he prays, if someone, some lady, brings me water, let her be the one. And the phrases in these two verses, quote, the Lord has guided me in the way, unquote, the God of my master Abraham has guided me in the way. So there's an example of a person being guided to a family. Here's the one that's the wife that's going to bring the well water, and the servant says, bring me to the right one. And we could say, well, that's just the story and doesn't apply to everybody, but I think it does in Proverbs 19:14. Houses inheritance are from the father, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So we can say God guides to a family and add that in point number four, although there's a story, but you might add Proverbs 19:14 applying to everybody. Number five is a negative. God will not lead into temptation. God will not lead us into evil. If something is wrong according to Bible commandments, it is not God's leading that we do it. We have a Lord's Prayer verses here in point number five. Lead us not into temptation. James 1:13 and following. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. So God does not lead us into doing evil. Well, if you'll permit me to use an illustration in both services, both New Year's sermons are similar, not identical, but they were similar. This kid told me God told him to leave his parents. Was he wandering around in Amarillo? And I said, do your mom and dad hurt you? No. Do your mom and dad want you to do something that's a crime? No. Wandering around the streets in Amarillo, left Lubbock. God did not tell you to leave your parents. God tells you to honor your father and mother. So we have here, God does not lead us to do something that is evil. If something that is wrong, God didn't lead that person into that, even though they sometimes get mixed up and say so. The next two points, I kind of wish I had switched them around. They are related. God leads by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. So point number six is God leads by the Holy Spirit. Point number seven is God leads by truth. The truth is in the Bible. And we're using verses that have the word lead or guide in them. I think I would like to switch them as we go through it. And we will look at number seven first and then come back to number six. They are related. But God leads by the truth, and of course, thy word is truth. This is John 17:17. But verses that have the word leading and truth in it are like Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Psalm 27:11. Teach me in your way, and lead me in the, some translations, level path. Lead me in the plains. That kind of makes sense around here, but lead me in the level path. So God wants to lead us into truth. The main truth is in the Bible. Here's Psalm 43:3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. That would be the temple. Truth brings to worship. In Psalms, it was the holy hill, Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, bring me to your temple. Now he would say, truth leads to worship. Worship is in the church. How where two or three are gathered, there am I in their name, Matthew 18. And so he wants to lead into truth by the scripture, wants to lead into truth by worship. John 16:17 talks about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will lead us into truth. And this whole list has the word lead in it. So the Holy Spirit will lead into truth, but right away in the next chapter, thy word is truth. So the Bible leads us, but that is the book that the Holy Spirit wrote. So the Bible is the Holy Spirit leading us because he is the co-author of the Bible. So John 16:13, when the Spirit comes, he will lead you into truth. He keeps talking. He says, thy word is truth. Acts chapter 8 talks about how we might be able to guide other people in the truth. That's a reference to the Ethiopian treasurer. He had been to Jerusalem. He was in a chariot. He was going back home. And Philip stops him and asks him, do you understand what you are reading? He was reading the Old Testament. He was reading the book of Isaiah. And his answer, how can I unless someone guides me? So God leads into truth, but he might use you to lead someone else into truth. They might be reading the Bible. It makes no sense to them. And like this Ethiopian treasurer, how can I understand the Bible unless someone guides me? And then the deacon Philip, it wasn't Apostle Philip, but the deacon Philip, he explained to him Isaiah 53, the lamb that was slaughtered is the Lord Jesus Christ. So God might use us to lead other people into truth. So the book, but also us teaching the book. That was number 7, but I'd like to, as I flipped it, we'll go back to number 6. The Holy Spirit is the author of the book. The main way the Holy Spirit leads us is by the book that he wrote. If someone is disobeying the Bible, they can't say that the Holy Spirit led me to do this if it's against the Bible. So he guides us by the Bible. That'd be Romans 8 and Galatians chapter 5. He leads everybody by the Bible. I think there can be beyond it. In other words, the Bible tells all Christians at all times, do 1, 2, 3, do A, B, C. Then there's individual guidance, promptings, proddings. We have Romans 8:14. We're still doing section 6, but for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let's flip that one. Everybody who is a son of God is being led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's Galatians 5. Well, no one's under the law, so everyone, every believer is being led by the Spirit. Mostly by the book he wrote. Those are the commandments. But then there's leading beyond it. Proddings, promptings, a sense of motivation. I don't think that works if a person doesn't obey the Bible. If a person is not interested in the Bible, God's teaching or God's commands, I don't think they can trust what they have in their hearts to prod them and move them along. But if they first follow the leading that's in the Bible, and they do everything they can to obey the Bible commands, then I think it's true that they can trust the inner promptings and motivations. We are not as mystical as a charismatic church, and no one can be an apostle. No one today has seen the risen Lord. No one can be an apostle. No one can say they're writing books that add to the Bible. No one can say that God gave me a command for everyone else to obey. But taking it just personally, I believe the Holy Spirit can give promptings, motivations, an inner burden to do something. So the Holy Spirit leads us, number one, by the Bible. And after having obeyed the Bible, I think the Holy Spirit leads us on the inside and leads us into more that we might do. A sense of promptings and motivations. I have always felt that way. Part of the reason I choose to do certain things that are personal ministry is I feel that that's what should be done. And have a sense of promptings about it. Now, everybody's a little bit different. God did not prompt me to try to sing. Like if I'm standing right next to somebody who's good at it, I can kind of fake it and get along, but not a gift. So God will tell everybody what to do by the Holy Spirit in the book he wrote, but then God will prompt one person one way and another person another way. It starts by obeying the Bible, and after that, do we feel a burden? Do we feel a leading? I think that amount of mysticism is okay. Now, no one can write the Bible. No one can go beyond it. God leads by the Holy Spirit. God leads into truth. And number eight, kind of related, could be, you already said that when you said God leads into truth, but God leads into wisdom. And truth kind of means what is factually right, and wisdom means what decision to make. So they are a little bit different. It seems like they deserve a separate point. God will lead into truth. Holy Spirit leads into truth, but God will lead into wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 says that he will lead us in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice. Those who diligently seek me will find me. It's a reference to wisdom. Wisdom is decisions. What should I do in 2025? Now, the Bible tells every Christian what to do, but there are individual things. What should I do? And I do believe in promptings and impressions for that. And if we don't know, well, just wait. Quite a few verses on wait on the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 40. Quite a few verses on wait on the Lord, and we don't know yet, but if we feel a prompting to make a decision, then that's section chapter 8. God leads kids by parents. And Bible verses on children obey your parents, but we're trying to find ones with the word lead or guide in it. Proverbs chapter 4 is talking about parents to a child, and it says, I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright path. So there's an example in the Bible of using parents to lead children. Also, Proverbs 6, 20 and following, my son, observe the commandments of your father. Do not forget the teachings of your mother. They will lead you. When you walk about, they will guide you. So God leads, but he often uses parents to lead kids. Point number 10 involves childhood, but it's not talking about God's leading from parents. It's talking about how long will God lead us? And God wants to lead us from the time we are kids to the time we are done with this life. All the way through this lifespan, God wants to lead us. Jeremiah 4, verse 3, talking about God the Father, says, "You are my friend since youth." So, God should be a friend of children. He wants to lead from a young age. And then, Psalm 48, 14, "Let me tell your way to the next generation. He will guide me until death." So let me live a long time. Let me pass on the truth. Let me pass on truth to younger people. You will guide me all the way. How long? All the way through the lifespan. Now, point number two was God might allow troubles, you know, to test, to see how faithful a person is. We're back to the Exodus again. But even though he might allow troubles, God will lead in safety. We have a Psalm 23, "He leads me beside the quiet waters." Might have times of troubles, might have days of unrest, but lots of days of rest. There's a reference to quiet waters. The next Psalms have references to a rock. You are my rock, my fortress. You will lead me and guide me. Well, rock here is kind of like going into a stone fort. Texas think of the Alamo, but they're thinking of the stone forts there in Israel. Time of David, lead me to that rock. Psalm 61:2 is that line that made it over into the hymn book, "Lead me to a rock that is higher than I." And Jeremiah 31, "By prayers I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters, in straight paths in which they will not stumble." So there you have a fortress. There you have not going to go in the flood. God might allow trials. That's point number two. But even though there might be days of trials, there will be times of rest, and it's on the way to safety. The next one, probably could have just put that in, God leads in his truth, but God leads in his will. Psalm 143, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your spirit lead me on the level ground." So God's will is not to make us fall down. God's will is not to trip us up, leading into righteousness. Got another Psalm 23 in there. That would probably be sufficient in, "O Lord, lead me in your righteousness," Psalm 5, verse 8. But I will add, "because of my foes." Lead me in righteousness because of my foes. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their throat is an open grave. So God leads in righteousness, first part of it, but other people don't. An open grave as a throat, that's like they're saying things. They're saying deadly words. Lead me in your righteousness because all of the pagans are talking deadly words. They are leading to ways of death. So I don't want to listen to them. Now that's quite a thought when listening now to what all anti-Christian people are saying. When he says it is the throat of death, saying words of death. So lead me in your righteousness away from them. He restores my soul. Psalm 23, we've already done that. And then he leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's why this one is used a second time right here. In the integrity of the upright shall guide me. That's the last one there. The integrity of the upright will guide me in righteousness. Integrity is different than righteousness, but integrity is kind of like a worldview that a person has before they make the decision. It's kind of like a worldview, a sense of conviction that a person has that is integrity, and they've already decided ahead of time they will go the right direction and not be led. So in other words, if there is a time that a person could dishonestly steal money, it comes up, but ahead of time the person has integrity. Ahead of time they already have the worldview and the conviction that they will always do what is right. God leads in righteousness. God leads to comfort and joy. For so you will go out with joy and be led forth in praise. There's your Isaiah 55. So there can be times of trouble, but even joy can take place in times of trouble. See, happiness and gladness is a different word. If there's a lot of trouble, we may not feel giddy. We may not feel like laughing. We may not feel euphoric. We may not be happy on that day, but we still can have joy, because joy is like contentment. Joy is like contentment, satisfaction in God, because He will take care of us. Even though we might not feel happy and giddy, we can have comfort. Isaiah 40 was one of our Christmas sermons way back, 2-3 weeks ago, but comfort, comfort my people. Well, it's comfort to God, given us to the people. Comfort us and have joy and peace. Leading, though, is all the way to eternity and glory. We're going that direction. Psalm 139, lead me in the way everlasting. So he's talking about leading in this life, but let me do something that matters for eternity. Lead me in the way everlasting. The Lord of grace called you into His glory. That's 1 Peter 5:10. That's where it's all going. We're going towards eternity. In the meantime, may He perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, establish you, going in the direction of eternity, and may He help you in that direction. Revelation chapter 7 talks about He will guide them into the springs of the water of life. So that's talking about tribulation saints, but it is applied later in the Bible that everyone can go to the springs of the water of life, and that He can lead us up into heaven. We put these ascension verses here at the end because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing at His ascension. Likely He was ascending, but He took all the Old Testament saints up one of the times after the cross. All of the Old Testament saints went up. And now we will all ascend. We're going in the direction of up. It could be at a person's death, absent from the body, present with the Lord, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That was 2 Corinthians 5:8 and Philippians 1:13. Each person going up, and if He comes, then 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about we'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds. If we have not died yet, be snatched away and all go to glory. So where are we going? I don't have time to review all these verses. Where are we going? In the end, we're going through safety, but there might be troubles. Might be opposition. God leads. Holy Spirit, Bible, parents. God leads from childhood all the way through, and God leads to eternity and glory. Quite a few verses on God's leading. So we can think about that, and as we are believers, God is leading us all up in His specific will for each person. The musicians, please come.